best Olympic sport. And we had a lot of different votes, a lot of different really interesting votes on this one here. We had one vote apiece for each of the following ones here. We had one vote for luge. We had one for the triple jump. We had one vote for the decathlon as basically the ultimate event type of deal. One vote for speed skating. No report on whether that was regular speed skating or the short track, which resembles NASCAR. Just speed skating in general. One vote for soccer. One vote for 10-meter platform diving. And only one vote, yes, only one vote for basketball. Kind of surprising. Everybody
gets
into the dream team and all that kind of stuff, but only one vote for basketball. We had we had multiple votes in a couple different categories here, ultimately leading to our winner. We do have a clear-cut winner in this one here. For swimming, we have one, two, three votes for swimming. So swimming was making a pretty good run at this here. For men's 100 meters, which many people will tell you determines who is going to be called the fastest man on earth, there were three votes for the men's 100 meters, so that made a pretty respectable run also. For swimming, there were three votes for that, largely, I think, probably on the strength of what Michael Phelps did a year ago. That was probably uppermost in a lot of people's minds. So there were three votes for swimming. And I'm looking to see if anything else got multiple votes here in the mix. Oh, there were three votes for boxing also. So it was pretty close for a while on who got what and who was going to be in position to win what. But when it came down to it in the end, ultimately pulling away with five votes, and I was very happy about this, the one that I voted for, I was surprised my good buddy Russ Cohen didn't vote for it, hockey. And few people...
Six votes, actually.
Six votes, yeah. No, you're right about that. Six votes.
And three for gymnastics,
that's
actually.
That's right. And three for gymnastics. Okay, that's right.
But hockey is definitely the winner.
There were two late votes for hockey. Ryan and I both voted for hockey. Chronologically here, Ryan's was one of the later votes to come in. Hockey basically put this thing away late. My good buddy Russ Cohen from Sportsology, he may be giving us a call tonight. I got to bust his nuts about this one. He voted for luge, and yet Russ, as I understand it, has a decent chance of being credentialed for the Olympics next year. He goes to all the big hockey events and covers all the big things, whether it be the Winter Classic. He was at a couple Stanley Cup Finals games this year, whatever. I'm going to have to bust his nuts on that one. So, Russ, I guess if you end up getting credentialed for Vancouver, you're going to want to go see the luge and not the hockey. You did vote for luge.
I think everyone probably thinks back to 1980 and the Americans winning the gold. It is one of the most fast-paced Olympic events.
It works on that level, but to me, it's the ultimate tournament right now. You've got about six or seven all-star teams out there with the NHL players being involved, so you have nationalism and really, really, really high skill. You have the expanded ice surface. To me, it's the ultimate lotto. And I love Olympic stuff in general. And by the way, secondary question I'm going to put out there for the three of us as we're talking about these here. Favorite one, winter or summer? I'm going to say winter. I like more of the ones in the winter. I'm looking forward to Vancouver more than I was looking forward to Beijing. So that's just how I roll. Ryan, let's go to you because you voted for hockey also here. So two questions for you. Winter or summer, which do you like better, and reasons for voting for hockey?
I'd say probably winter and hockey because it's a team sport. I don't know really know many people like that do any other sports in Olympics, and it's fun to watch. Swimming I like, but I had to go with hockey over swimming just because it's team sport, and that's about all that why I voted for hockey.
Okay, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good reasons to vote for hockey, definitely. But Dave, ultimately, your vote in this went for gymnastics. You were one of three votes for gymnastics, so talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, and I think I would say the last Olympics really turned me off a little bit from gymnastics because the Chinese were clearly trying to pull a fast one there with the the age manipulation of their athletes in gymnastics. But, you know, that's the other thing is looking at, you know, how clean the sports are. If you take a look at hockey and some of the other winter sports, they may be a little bit cleaner than, say, what's happening in gymnastics. I'm not a real big fan on professionals from the United States playing in the Olympics, but, you know, that's just something I have to put up with. I would rather see our amateurs go in the Olympics and play instead of our professionals. And I know the argument is, you know, the Eastern Bloc is all, you know, those people are basically professionals because there's no league over there. That's changed now. I think that's changed. I think if we went back to the pure form of the Olympics and went with amateurs instead of professionals, I think we would find some better storylines.
Do you think we can put the toothpaste back in the tube, though? Can people care after seeing athletes at the highest level and then go back to, oh, well, at least this guy you know, never played above the AAU level?
Well, but it's like apples and oranges. I mean, you have people that are you know, competing for gymnastics or luge or you know, swimming, and other than the pre-Olympic you know, lead-ups to the Olympics, they're not there are no professional leagues in those other things.
Okay.
Whereas hockey and basketball and soccer, there are world leagues going on that people are playing professionally in.
Okay. All right. Well, we have up on the phone lines here. Evidently, he heard the part here where I mentioned him. A good buddy, Russ Cohen from Sportsology. Look, I love luge. I love bobsled. I love skeleton. I love all that kind of stuff. Not so much that I voted for it here. So, you know, as far as it goes, I guess we can take his vote to mean that he's going to try and get credentialed to cover luge next year. Hey, Russ?
Hey, Rick. How are you?
Fine, thanks. How you doing, my man?
Good, good.
Are you going to be applying for the luge credentials, Russ, in lieu of hockey because luge is the sport you chose?
No, but I did have fun doing it. I, you know, I had a chance to practice with the U.S. luge team a couple years back on Long Island, and it was on land, but you're still going like 40, 50 miles an hour because they did it on a big incline. That was interesting.
So you've done it then. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, no, that I did not know.
Single or doubles?
Single, and it's pretty terrifying. Like, you know, you try and act cool and not act like it was a big deal, but it really was. And really the only thing that enables you to stop is you putting your feet down and actually just stopping and not making sure you don't catapult yourself off. So I had one really good run, and they said, hey, you want to go again? And I said, nope, I'm good.
I wonder how many snap necks there are in that thing. That just looks, it has the air of danger to it.
It does, and they did say that at some point I'd be able to go up to Lake Placid and do it on the real run. That hasn't happened yet, but I'd still be willing to do that because I still think it would be safer on that than it would be on the concrete with really, you know, no padding or anything.
And as far as it goes with luge and with skeleton and stuff, you know, you mentioned doubles, Dave. I can't see the appeal in anything other than mixed doubles. I don't know why. I don't see the appeal in same sport doubles, but that's just how I roll, Dave.
Yeah, I don't think they've come up with that sport yet. Yeah. They might, maybe, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, first time they hold the Winter Olympics in Frisco, I'm sure they'll have doubles on that, and not mixed doubles. All right, so hockey. We lift our Dundee Award to hockey.
Yay.
Our fourth installation tonight into the Pantheon, along with Paul Brown, the Super Bowl, and football. Our winners thus far, and that's actually the first one that I have cast a winning vote for in all of this, so yay me. And Ryan, of course, casting a winning vote here as well. Play-by-play sportscaster. We move on to this one here. This was all over the place. I'm going to first start with the ones where there was only one vote for each of these ones before I start getting into the multiples. I voted for, and this was at least largely a protest vote, although I did enjoy watching a lot, the Saturday night ESPN SEC games. Love me some Ron Franklin. I miss having him on there. He's been banished ever since he made the one, you know, condescending sweetheart comment to Holly Rowe. So in partially in protest and partially in salute to those old Saturday night SEC games, Ron Franklin was my vote. We had other votes coming in. There was one vote apiece for each of the following. Marv Albert, we'll get Russ to discuss that, and we're going around talking about our individual ones here in a moment. We had one vote for John Miller doing the ESPN Sunday Night Baseball games here. One vote for Mike Lange in Pittsburgh, who I believe does the Penguins games. One for him. One for Howard Cosell. One vote for Chick Hearn. One vote, I believe it was only one vote. Yes, one vote for Jack Buck. We had one for Marty Brenneman, one for Joe Tate, local guy, one for Dick Enberg, and one for Chris Collinsworth, who's actually not noted for his play-by-play, rather his color commentary. However, I'm not going to be the one to deny the vote to Tom Wilson of Ziggy fame. So
Collinsworth isn't noted for his football either, but
not really.
Thing.
Yeah, being from Cleveland, we're not big Collinsworth guys.
No.
And looking at the ones that got more than one vote, and leaving aside the ultimate winner here, which we will get to in a second, there were two votes cast, and it's good to see this. Two votes cast for the late, great Harry Callis from Philadelphia here. It's good to see him recognized for his accomplishments. Harry Callis getting two votes here in the mix. And I'm looking to see if anybody else got more than one vote aside from our winner. Okay, there is three votes for Al Michaels. So three votes apiece were cast.
Four.
Okay, yeah. Four for Al Michaels. Who made a good strong run and kind of a late run here. Ultimately, our winner, as I look at this here, and he emerged kind of late, or middle of the pack here as far as when the votes were coming in. He started by getting three votes in a row from people here. There were three votes in a row that came in for him. He eventually garnered a fourth, and actually, wait a minute, that would make a
tie. We have a tie.
I did not realize that the late vote for Al Michaels catapulted this into a tie. We have a tie between Al Michaels and Vin Scully. So we are going to have to go to our panel here for that. We'll do it the same way we did it before, which is that each of us can give a second place vote here, and if either of the you can't vote for whoever you voted for on the first ballot. If the second place ballots end up casting Vin Scully or Al Michaels into the lead, then that would do it. Otherwise, what we've defaulted to is whoever happens to be up with us at that time on the phone lines. So Russ would become the de facto third ballot if we deadlock on the second ballot. So I talked about my thoughts with Ron Franklin being a vote here, and we did not have a vote from Ryan. Ryan can choose to vote on the second ballot if he so chooses, if he has a candidate in mind. Meantime here, before we go to the second ballot, we have the two votes talked about here. Dave, you voted for Al Michaels. Talk about that. One of the two guys in a tie right now, Al Michaels and Vin Scully.
Well, Al Michaels has done pretty much every sport. He also goes back for me. He goes back 30 years. I remember, you know, first listening to him when he did the Miracle on Ice, and you know he's done pretty much everything since then. Baseball, and obviously Monday Night Football. He's been the voice of Monday Night Football for now 15 years almost, probably.
I think 20 plus now.
It could be, yeah, because he's been with, you know, you look back at the people he's had in the booth with him. You know, you look at the fact that he's able to work with pretty much anybody. And the quality is still there for him. I think he was, for me, he was a no-brainer type vote for me.
Him being paired with Boomer Esiason brings to mind the notion about Ric Flair. Ric Flair could carry a broomstick to a five-star match. That's sort of the same thing with Al Michaels and that big load known as Boomer Esiason, who shared a booth with him for a period of time here. Russ, in looking at this here, your ballot went to Marv Albert. You cast what was the only vote for Marv Albert here. So talk about that one.
Yeah, Marv basically had done all the majors, too. He had done baseball and basketball and football and hockey, and not all of them nationally, some of them only in the New York market. Basketball, he continues on nationally, and and football on the radio nationally. And I think maybe Marv, you know, people might dismiss him a little bit because of the little bit issue he had, but I think Al Michaels is sort of like a more prominent guy today, this moment, but I think Marv really does have more talent, especially for basketball or hockey. He was pretty tremendous. If you listen to him on the radio especially, you really felt like you were there. He covered every single thing, and he actually he made it pretty exciting. You know, he had his trademark yes and all those other things. They used him in video games for years because of it, and I just think, you know, he's pretty much an icon in that area, but he's certainly an older guy, and I think that's what hurt him here.
Okay, yeah, that's part of it too. Yeah, I mean, he's not as prominently on the landscape right now in terms of a national profile. You're right about that. He's not calling that many high profile events. Probably the highest profile one I'd say would be the NBA Conference Finals on TNT on a year-to-year basis. So that probably did hurt him in terms of visibility. Visibility counts for a lot, because I was the only vote for Ron Franklin, and that guy's almost in the witness protection program as far as the games they're giving him these days. So, all right, second-place ballots. This is what we'll go to now. If there's not a vote between the three of us for either Al Michaels or for Vin Scully, then we'll just default to Russ for his choice between the two. That would be the third ballot. But second ballot here, starting out, Ryan, start with you. Any preferences? No problem if there's not, but any preferences out of anybody for a best play-by-play announcer?
If I had to pick one, I'd say Al Michaels.
Al Michaels. All right. So we have, and that's very understandable right there as far as that goes, because he is so, you know, we talk about the profile of guys, and as much as Marv Albert's has been down in recent years, largely because of, you know, the networks that he's working with and the assignments they have. Well, go ask Bob Costas about this, who, by the way, didn't get any votes here. Bob Costas, who's dying to call baseball and has to go to the MLB network, which is in approximately 25 homes, in order to be able to do so, because NBC hasn't had baseball since like 1896. So the vagaries of network politics and who's got what contracts. Go ask Bob Costas about that sometime, because he's a pretty big hostage to it, too. Still not sure who I'm going to go with. Dave, what's your thought?
I probably would pick Vince Scully.
Okay.
He was the other one that I thought of back when I thought about Al Michaels, and so I'll go with Scully.
Okay. You'll take him. I will go with – this is kind of – it's kind of out of left field. A lot of people wouldn't necessarily go for this guy. A lot of hockey purists might barf when I say this. I think he took a bad rap for it. I like Gary Thorne. I find Gary Thorne entertaining. Like listening to him for baseball. Russ gets to listen to him for Mets games there and stuff. I'm going to go with Gary Thorne. Before you make your second place ballot here, Russ, what are your thoughts on Gary Thorne?
No, Gary's tremendous, and you know, he actually does the Frozen Four as well, and he's tremendous with that. I've loved him when he was a Mets announcer. I've liked him tremendously when he was on ESPN. He adds an excitement. He's got the pipes. He's got a personality. He's funny. Gary Thorne's terrific.
Okay. All right, good. I know there's a lot of hockey purists that, for whatever reason, don't like the guy. I never got it. I agree with everything you just said about him. So... all right, what would be your second-place ballot here? And ultimately, if it's not either Vin Scully or Al Michaels, then we'll move on to you for the third ballot. But for the second ballot, who would be your ultimate pick for second place behind your initial pick of Marv Albert?
You know, I probably would put Bob Costas, because he is a forgotten guy, and I would hate for him to be forgotten here, because he was terrific. He was great with baseball. And like you said, he's sort of like a victim of the networks right now.
Well, you and I certainly voted for some underappreciated guys there as far as assignments that they get. Marv Albert and Bob Costas right now, me voting for Ron Franklin and Gary Thorne. Not the highest profiles, those four, right now on the present scene as far as play-by-play broadcasting goes. Costas is prominent, but not because of play-by-play largely at this point. All right. Third ballot defaults to whoever the first person is. Whoever's on line one has the third ballot here. So unilaterally, Russ, if it's a zero-sum game between Al Michaels and Vin Scully, otherwise we would go on all night here. We're not going to be like the 1972 Democratic Convention. We will break the deadlock. What is the pick for, in your estimation, between the two for best play-by-play sportscaster?
I'd go with Vin Scully because I've watched a certain amount of Dodger games and just can't believe that he does six or more innings by himself. He is literally the only guy in the booth, no help, and then later in the game sometimes they give him a blow. I think that's what they've been doing the last couple of years. It's just unbelievable that he has enough energy, enough stories, enough everything to keep it going and keep it going by himself. And he even used to be the Brooklyn Dodgers announcer. That's how far back he goes, and he's still relevant.
Yep. I used to really like listening to him on NBC, and he did a tremendous job there. Very well-deserved. All right, Vin Scully on the tiebreaker, our second tiebreaker here tonight. Vin Scully, we raise the Dundee Award to you.
Yay.
For being the best play-by-play sportscaster. Our fifth inductee into the Pantheon.